From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at MaineGardens.org.
Some supporters of Central Maine Power's billion-dollar transmission project are looking to Canada's Hydro-Québec to shore up prospects for a key permit in Maine. They want the Canadian utility to contribute cash to benefit Maine electricity consumers. And Governor Paul LePage's administration may be pushing Hydro-Québec on the point, although details of the effort are murky. Fred Bever reports.
The 145-mile high-voltage transmission line would bring electricity produced by Canada's vast dam systems through western Maine to serve customers in Massachusetts. The project needs several permits from Maine regulators, including a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity from the Maine Public Utilities Commission. In a commission case conference this week, a question was raised about whether Hydro-Québec would or should put some money on the table to benefit Maine ratepayers.
To the extent the Commission indicates an interest in the benefits that Hydro-Québec receives, it greatly increases the probability that Maine will share in some of those benefits.
Attorney Tony Buxton represents the Industrial Energy Consumers Group, or IECG. That's a consortium of large-scale energy users such as paper mills in Maine. IECG and CMP are often antagonists as they contend over the high cost of electricity delivery in Maine. But CMP won IECG's early support for the proposed transmission project by making sure that related contracts would bar Maine residents and businesses from ever being on the hook for even a portion of the construction costs. Buxton says his clients would benefit from the injection of a big slug of hydropower into the regional mix. That's because it could stabilize energy prices that can swing wildly depending on natural gas supplies to the region. A new incentive from Hydro-Québec could convince regulators, he says, that the project will substantially benefit all Maine ratepayers. And Hydro-Québec, he says, will have the means.
We've calculated that the benefit to Hydro-Québec, not CMP, but Hydro-Québec, of this project exceeds $200 million a year. Pure profit after all costs. That's an exceptionally important number.
To get a favor from its neighbor, Buxton argues, Hydro-Québec needs to be kind in return.
I was taken back by the figure.
Barry Hobbins is the state's public advocate, and his job is to protect Maine consumers in utility cases. He's been focused on getting CMP to ante up $50 million to help low-income Mainers make energy efficiency investments, same as CMP has promised Massachusetts. But so far, Hobbins and CMP have not come to terms. Now, Hobbins says, the new calculation of Hydro-Québec's potential $200 million annual profit from the project has his attention.
This is a potential benefit that possibly the state of Maine should look at as part of a community benefit, part of the overall statute involving projects such as this.
And it seems that Governor LePage, who was an early supporter of the project, is now looking for its principals to do more for Maine as well. 2 weeks ago, in a trip to Spain, he visited with officials at CMP's parent company, Avangrid, where, according to his office, he discussed, quote, ways to lower energy costs for Maine ratepayers. And now there is evidence that the LePage administration is in talks with Canada's Hydro-Québec. IECG attorney Tony Buxton isn't naming names, but...
Let me say this. There are public officials involved directly or indirectly, I'm not sure, in negotiations with Hydro-Québec.
In an email, CMP spokesman John Carroll said the company was aware of discussions between Hydro-Québec and the LePage administration, although not a party to them. And Carroll says that while CMP believes the project already promises broad benefits for Maine, Hydro-Québec might have an opportunity to make it even better.
Any additional benefits from any party would obviously be good for Maine and a favorable development in the discussions that are going on now.
Governor LePage's chief energy advisor and his press spokeswoman have not responded to repeated requests for comment. A Hydro-Québec spokeswoman says she is unable to comment on such matters, which, quote, typically remain confidential until agreements are reached. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Over the past year, 322 children in Maine tested positive for lead poisoning, which can lead to serious, irreversible health problems and lower IQs. A new $4 million lead abatement program rolled out today in Lewiston is designed to incentivize landlords to remove lead paint from homes before a child is poisoned. Patty White reports.
Lewiston area landlord Amy Smith says much of the multifamily housing stock downtown is around 100 years old. Transforming it into safe, affordable housing is a major challenge, she says, even with expected renovations such as electricity and plumbing.
But the wild card is if you have deteriorating lead paint.
Smith says that additional cost is often enough to drive landlords to abandon projects. But the new state program is set up to help landlords cover the cost of lead abatement and provide an incentive to be proactive. Greg Payne of the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says if a property is already under an abatement order because a child has been poisoned, landlords are expected to pay at least a quarter of the cost of removing lead.
If, however, a landlord is acting before a child is poisoned and the property is not under abatement order, part of that cost is limited to 10%.
The program, which is expected to distribute about $1 million annually over the next 4 years, is the result of a bipartisan bill spearheaded by Democratic State Representative Jared Golden, who's also running for Congress. Federal lead abatement funds are available, but Greg Payne says they're not enough to meet the need in Maine, and this program will help fill in the gap.
We expect that the program will make at least 200 homes across the state lead safe.
It's unclear how many homes in Maine need lead abatement. More than 400,000 housing units were built before 1980, when lead paint was commonly used. According to the Maine Center for Disease Control, most of the 322 Maine children identified as lead poisoned over the past year were assessed by state standards that were updated in 2015 to reflect the stricter federal standard. Health officials say that no level of lead exposure is considered safe. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Independent Maine Senator Angus King is sending a check for $5,000 back to ExxonMobil. The check reflects a donation by the Texas-based oil and gas corporation to King's U.S. Senate campaign this election season. And as Susan Sharon reports, King is returning the money after being challenged to do so by his Democratic rival in the race.
It happened about 10 minutes into Maine Public Senate debate taped on Tuesday afternoon. Democrat Zach Ringelstein was discussing his support for a Green New Deal to convert to 100% renewable energy by 2035 as a way to address climate change. And then Ringelstein, who's been critical of King and other candidates who take money from political action committees, lobbyists, and the fossil fuel industry, turned to King and made this challenge.
Meanwhile, Angus King is taking money from ExxonMobil. And I'd like to ask him, Angus, will you stop taking money from ExxonMobil and fossil fuel industries?
Yes.
Will you give the money back that you've taken?
Yes.
Phenomenal. Thank you. Can we do a press conference tomorrow?
The unusual concession ended with a handshake between the two candidates. And while there was no press conference the following day, King agreed to discuss it between campaign stops in Westbrook.
I think the check has been cut and nobody buys my vote, but Zach was just hitting me over the head with it, and I think it was a red herring, and the easiest way to take care of it would be to say, okay, we're gonna not do this.
It's a red herring, King says, because he discloses all his contributions and wasn't aware that ExxonMobil had made a $5,000 donation. It's a small enough amount that it doesn't crack the top 100 of the groups or individuals that have given to him. In fact, the League of Conservation Voters, which supports candidates who support sound environmental policies, donated far more. It gave King's campaign $30,000, which comes in at number 5 for King's largest donations. King's two opponents are skeptical that ExxonMobil is the only fossil fuel company to have ever supported him for federal office.
I want the rest of the fossil fuel industry.
Democrat Zach Ringelstein says the check to ExxonMobil shouldn't close the deal that King agreed to with a handshake.
He agreed to the entirety of the fossil fuel industry, if you look back at the clip. So we want to make sure that Angus is living up to what he said.
According to the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonpartisan research group that tracks money and lobbying around the country, King has received more than $124,000 from energy and natural resource groups. That includes wind, solar, and fossil fuel companies. But King's biggest donors in this group are from renewable energy companies, like the American Wind Energy Association, which gave him $9,000.
At the end of the day, that's just a small portion of the donations he's received from the energy industry.
Republican Eric Brakey is critical of King for taking money not only from ExxonMobil and the fossil fuel industry, but from renewable energy companies as well. But Brakey's own campaign has been the beneficiary of an independent out-of-state PAC that has spent more than $1 million on ads critical of King and financed primarily by a Texas billionaire. That's the real problem of campaign finance, King says.
And, you know, to put it in context, I've had 22,000 donations, about two-thirds of which are from Maine, and over 80% are under $100.
King says he's never taken a vote where he's thought about a contribution, and he maintains that he is one of the least favorite senators of the fossil fuel industry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine. Thanks to Erwin Gratz, Willis Ryder Arnold, Patty White, Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, and our digital team, Ahmed Morin.